great Christian writer A.W. Tozer said this. He said, in our expression as Christians, in our expression of love for God, there's always a little mystery that's involved. And in some cases, he said, it's wholly or entirely a mystery. And that's, if you think about that, that's true. There's always some things that are unknown. There's some things that we want to love God and want to express our love to him, but there's some things that we don't know. And we're a little bit reluctant sometimes to say how we feel because we don't know. And here's the reason I chose the topic that we're doing tonight. And it comes from, by the way, if you're in my Sunday school class, you're going to get a review, because this is one from time to time. I know Brother Frank has asked me from time to time, said, why don't you preach some of those Sunday school lessons that you're telling me about? And I'm reluctant to do that because it's doing it over again. But about 3 weeks ago, we did this lesson in talking about judgment. Judgment's one of those things that Christians don't want to talk about. Am I right? Somebody in my class actually told me that day, you know, because I said, this is something we don't talk about. And they said, well, the reason we don't talk about it, because nobody preaches about it. And then I said, well, maybe we can rectify that. And we are tonight. We're going to give it an attempt to rectify that tonight. Most Christians at best have a vague concept of what the judgment means in the end, the end time judgments. And you know, that's really sad, because everything I'm going to show you tonight is in Scripture. That's where it's coming from. It's all in Scripture if we just take the time to look at it and you know, glean from it what we will. The answers are there as to how things happen, what's going to happen. We're studying in Sunday school right now the signs of the apocalypse, or signs, 31 prophets, prophetical sayings that are going to come true that David Jeremiah wrote. And this, most of this is where this is from, is from that study. And it talks about the judgments. It's what it talks about. Now, there's not just one judgment to talk about. I want you to know that up front. There are two of them. There are two judgments. And so most people have this, you know, we got this idea in our head that when we finally leave this earth, we're going to go and stand before God, and, you know, we're going to have like a balancing act, a scale, like we see in a judgment in a courtroom, a human courtroom. We've got those scales of judgment, and all the good things we did are going to be over here on this scale, and all the bad things we did are going to be over here. And if we got more good than bad, hey, we're entering into heaven. Nothing could be further from the truth. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. That's just that, but that's what a lot of people think is going to happen. So they develop this attitude. That's what I'm going to do the best I can. And what I can do the best I can, you know, I let that take care of itself when it gets there. That's the wrong attitude to have, folks. Christians shouldn't have that attitude. We should have a different attitude indeed, because we know what the end is. Now, I want to look at both of the judgments tonight that are talked about in Scripture. And I want to look at the second one chronologically that's going to take place. I want to get it out of the way first, because I'm going to spend most of the time talking about the first one that we're going to have. And I'll get to that just a second. But the first judgment I want to talk about is called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment. Now, there are a lot of pretenders in this life. I think to some degree all of us have a little pretense. We pretend to be this or pretend to be that, and we're really not. But we want to pretend that we are. Some do a lot more of that than others do. But because of the seriousness of this first judgment, we don't need to have any pretense whatsoever about our relationship with Christ. It needs to be cemented, folks. Because this first judgment I'm talking to you about is a judgment that those that are non-believers, those who rejected Christ. You say, well, I've never rejected Christ. I just never have really got into it. Well, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ, then you have rejected him. Because that's the way it is. There's no gray matter here. And in this judgment, there's no gray matter. There's no grading on the curve. You know, it's not going to be any of that. It's going to be strictly the Great White Throne Judgment. It is a judgment for non-believers or unbelievers. Only those people are going to see this judgment. It's going to be the final sentence for all those who have rejected Christ in this life. And as I said, there'll be no ambiguity whatsoever. Look with me at Revelation, what Scripture says in Revelations 25 and in 11 through 15 there. It says this in verse 5, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, the dead are going to be raised also. The dead without Christ are going to be raised. They're going to be resurrected also at the time of this judgment, but not before. So he says, till the 1,000 years were finished. And this is the first resurrection. He said in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Boy, there's no gray matter there, is there? I mean, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? If your name's not in the Lamb's book of life, that's where you're going to end up. That's where you're going to spend eternity. That's what this judgment's all about. Now, this I want to clear up this stuff about Hades and what we call Hades and that kind of thing. That's not the final place. The final cast of the lake of fire is not Hades. That's where people, non-believers, are now. They're waiting for this judgment. And when this judgment takes place, all of the, they said the great and the small, all of those unbelievers are going to come. They're going to be resurrected and they're going to come before the great white throne. All the people that are going to be there are unbelievers. Their destiny has already been determined because they rejected Christ in this life. And I cannot reiterate enough to you how important that is to make sure you get that taken care of in this life. It's too serious. Eternity is too serious for you to take a gamble. Why would anybody gamble on something that great? I don't, you know, it's hard for me to fathom that. But I'm a saved Christian, so I look at it from those eyes. But I don't know why anybody would. You know, gamble with something like that is that serious. And you know, and it's my sincere prayer, and it's part of my responsibility that none of you end up at this judgment. I pray that not one of you ends up there. Because if you did, I didn't tell you what I should have told you. Or maybe I didn't share with you enough. And that's something that we're going to talk about in just a minute, about what each of us have a responsibility to share in this second judgment. But in this first great white throne judgment. Now, let me explain something about Hades and paradise, because it's in the book of Luke. There's a story of Lazarus and the beggar. And, you know, Lazarus was the rich man, and he ended up in Hades. And the beggar was actually ended up in paradise, and there was a great gulf fixed between them. This Hades and paradise were holding places. Hades is still a holding place for the non-believers in Christ. Those that are destined to go to the lake of fire are now in Hades. And then when this great white throne judgment takes place, they're going to be resurrected. They're going to be resurrected from the dead, and they're going to come and face the judgment. And they're going to be tossed in their in whatever spiritual package they're in, they're going to be tossed into the lake of fire. Now, paradise was unlocked when Jesus died on the cross. And he was ascended into heaven. Before he ascended, he went and unlocked paradise, where people like Abraham and Abraham and all the Old Testament folks that had died in Christ before then, they were kept in paradise. You know, the thief on the cross, Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. And that's what he was talking about. So he went and unlocked all that. Those people are in heaven now. Now when we die, if you're in Christ and you die, you go to heaven. You'd be right there with Christ. Let me, if I could say one thing, the worst thing about being cast into the lake of fire is not how hot it's going to be. It's not how dark it's going to be. It's not how alone you're going to feel. I don't know about any of that stuff. It's just multiplied 100 times over in my mind. But the worst thing about it is you don't get to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. That's the worst thing. And that's the great white throne judgment. It takes place at the end of the millennial reign. So it's going to be, if you ask what time, when is it going to take place, it's going to be about 1,007 years from the rapture, where we're all hopefully going to go. Now let's look at the second judgment, number two there, the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. Now this is a judgment that happens earlier, and like I say, exactly 107 years before the one I just talked about, and it is reserved for Christians only. The only people who are going to be at this judgment are those believers in Christ. Now look at 2 Corinthians 5:10, where it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." This is not a heaven or hell judgment, okay? Because you're already going to be in heaven. It's not going to be a heaven or hell judgment. You're going to be standing at the judgment seat of Christ and accounting for what you did for Christ on this earth. And that's a very, very serious thing as well. Now, we need to understand up front here, this word judgment implies a lot of things, and it's confusing to us. This judgment seat of Christ, there's not going to be any condemnation here. There's going to be rewards handed out for what we did for Christ on this earth. That's what it's going to be about. It's not going to be condemnation for this one over that one, or not any kind of competition or any kind of thing like that. We're going to be standing in our glorified, resurrected bodies, our final package that we're going to spend eternity in. I can't imagine how that's going to be, but I got a feeling my back is not going to hurt. You know what I'm saying? Tip, you with me on that, buddy? Okay. Now, this term judgment seat in Greek refers to one word, and it's called bema, B-E-M-A, and this simply means a raised platform is what it means. Now, historians tell us that the judges at the Greek Olympic Games sat on raised platforms, and when they rewarded the athletes, they rewarded them from this raised platform, this bema seat, and they rewarded them not only for winning. And when we get to heaven at this judgment, it's going to be all believers. We're all going to be winners. Everybody there is going to be a winner. But at the same time, others are going to receive rewards that some don't get. So these judges, though, they rewarded not only the winning and losing, they rewarded how the game was played. In other words, how did you adhere to the rules of the competition? That was big to these judges. And that's kind of what he is comparing this to. It's an important thing for us to look at. Now, I want to look at three different perspectives from this judgment seat of Christ. The first one I want to look at is who's the judge? The judge. Who's the judge? The God of the Bible is the judge. Look at Hebrews 4:13 with me. It says, "There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." All things. And then in Acts 10:42, Luke writes that he commanded us to preach to people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. And I think I left John 5 out of there, John 5, 22 and 27, or I missed it when I went through there. But anyway, it says there that all judgment was given from God to his son Jesus. He's passing all the authority over to him. So Jesus is going to be the judge at this judgment seat of Christ. And if you can picture in your eyes, if you read Revelation, you talk about the image of when you see Christ, his eyes are sparkling like fire. That's the visual description that we get. Now, can you imagine the penetrating gaze that he takes and looks upon you as you stand before Christ and you account for what you have done for him on this earth? And the Bible says that we're all going to be there. Now, that's the judge. That's Christ. Let's look at those who are judged, those that are judged. Who will be judged here? The judgment seat of Christ is for believers, as I said, only. All are judged and have accepted Christ as personal Savior. Look at Romans 14:10 through 12 there at the top of the page on the right. It says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, in these passages, the pronouns are personal and they are singular. So what that says to me is that this is not going to be a church gathering. It's not going to be a multitude gathering of people. It's going to be a one-on-one interview. I believe that's what it's going to be. I believe when we stand before Christ, we're going to all stand and get on our knees before him, and it's going to be one-on-one. He's going one-on-one with every one of us. And you know, we hear a lot of people talk and say this kind of thing in the church. So, you know, I work hard as I can, and I'm just going to let the pieces fall where they may. No. Don't let one day go by that you don't do everything you can for the cause of Christ on this earth. It's that precious. Time is that precious. And it's not so you'll receive an award in heaven. It's because of the love that he has for you, the love that you have for him. And it's expressed in what you do for him. That's why he's judging in this way. It's going to be a one-on-one judgment. I'm moving along quite rapidly here, and no one seems to be amening. I don't know what the deal is. Number five, the judgment that is passed. The judgment that is passed. First of all, when does this judgment take place? Revelation 22:12 says, and behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. Shortly after the rapture of the church takes place, then we're going to begin the tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation period on this earth. I believe we're a pre-tribulation raptured people, that we're going to miss that. I believe we're going to be taken up into heaven. You know, in the story in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about the rapture, how the dead in Christ will rise first, then those who remain alive will be caught up in the air to meet him. He's coming back to get his church. And he's going to come back and get us. And it says in that scripture I just read that he's going to bring the rewards with him. He's bringing our rewards with him when we go. So it's going to be very close to that time that the one-on-one interview is going to take place. And that's the judgment. Now, I want to dispel some things that people have come up in their mind with that are not scriptural at all. Again, it's not a heaven or hell judgment here. It's about our works. We don't go to heaven by works. We go because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his grace, we are saved through faith. And we go on that account. But when we get there, these rewards are given to us by what works we did on earth for Christ. Now, some people think, well, this is after I'm saved. All the sin I've done since then will be judged at this judgment. It's not true. Not going to be any sin judged here. Your sin will be tossed and gone far away. Far away from you as the east is from the west. You'll never hear from it again. You're going to be a believer in Christ, and you're going to kneel before him. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And he's going to give you whatever rewards. There are five, I think, different categories of rewards that we know in Scripture. I tend to believe that there are a lot more of them. There are different kinds of rewards that will fit anything you do for Christ on this earth. Now, one thing I liked about this is what you do, even if you do it in secret, it's not secret to him. There's nothing beyond his gaze. He sees the people that clean up for our meals. He sees the people that open and close the doors here. You know, you say, well, those are insignificant things. Not to him, they're not. Because they're for his cause. They're for Christ. So anything that is done, you'll be accountable for it when you kneel before him at this judgment seat of Christ. That's the part of the judgment there. Now, Romans 8:1 again says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I didn't put that in your notes, but I don't want you to think, to be afraid of this judgment. You know, if you make your decision for Christ on this earth, then you go to work for him. And you do everything you can for him until this time comes. Then you're going to be taken up. You're going to be given a glorified spiritual body. And you're going to be in the best shape you've ever been in your life. I don't know what that looks like. We're not given that information. But I believe it's going to be better than we've ever been. I don't know whether we're going, I'm going to go back to being a young man again or get older. I don't know what that's going to look like. All of us have some image of ourselves that we'd like to see, you know, get a little better. But, you know, I don't know what that's going to be. But that's what's going to happen when we're raptured, and then we're going to sit down with him. Now, the A part I put down there for you is when. The when question. When does this judgment take place? Well, I've already touched on that. Revelation 22:12 said, "Behold, I'm coming, my reward is with me." So it's going to come right after he comes and gets us. That's when it's going to take place. Shortly after the rapture, in some time frame that's yet to be determined. Now, the second question, obviously, is where is it going to take place? Well, we've already touched on that. Where is it going to take place? It's going to be in heaven. We're already going to be there with him. That question's already been decided. And we have done that and made that. Then the C part I put down there is what is going to happen when we stand before the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians there, 3:11 through 15. It says this, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, and each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." Now, what the writer is doing here, he's saying when we bring all of our works to stand before Christ or kneel before him at the judgment seat of Christ, and he's in a raised platform and his gaze is down on us, it's like he's talking about something that is caught up in a fire, and all of the chaff and all of that is consumed. And the only thing that's left is the precious parts, the parts that survive the fire. All of those things left is what Christ is going to see. And he's going to be able to reveal what those things are. But when a fire burns all the other things away, sometimes the foundation is still there. You know, fire burns the house. It doesn't burn the block foundation or the concrete foundation, because that just simply won't burn. So that part's going to be there. And he likens it to being that kind of thing. What kind of judgment is it going to be? Well, it's going to be like watching everything else in your life that meant nothing burn up, and what you've done for Christ will be saved. That will be noticed. That's what he's going to give you the reward for. Now, D part, the conclusion of the judgment. Now, I want to be clear about this part here. I put a loss of rewards there, but you know, really, it's not a loss if you never had it. You can't lose something unless you had it. So a loss of rewards is, you know, on that day you're going to stand there, you're going to kneel before Christ, and some people are going to be there and they're not going to receive any rewards. We need to understand that. We need to understand it now, so we can be about the business of Christ, that we can do what we can do for him now. Because once you get there, you can't do anything else. And some people are going to kneel there and they're not going to get a reward. Matthew 6:1 says this, "Take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven." And you remember the scripture in Matthew 6:5, it says, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. There'll be no reward for them. If you do things under pretense now, there'll be no reward showing for you at that point." Because it's not actually a loss of rewards, but it's everything to gain. You've gained eternity in heaven with Christ. And everything you're adding to that is going to be your reward when you get to heaven. I know I'm sitting here, and I know there are a lot of folks that say, you know, "I don't want a reward. I'm not about rewards. I'm not about awards or anything, that kind of thing. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to get to heaven the best way I can, and I understand that. But folks, that's not the attitude we need to take. Truthfully, we need to take the attitude, hey, I want to do everything I can for him. And then let the rewards fall where they may. Let the pretense drop in the rewards. There won't be any pretense here, I can tell you that. He's going to see through everything that you've ever pretended to be. He's going to see right down to the foundation. And that's what this judgment's going to be about. It's going to be about the rewards that you're going to receive in heaven. Now, what you do for the recognition of the glory of God, that's what you're going to receive the rewards on. Then there's some people, I put number two there, the reception of the reward. Obviously, there's some that's going to receive rewards. That throughout God's word, we're told that there'll be rewards in heaven. And if we earn them by our work for Christ on earth, they'll be given to us there. This judgment thing of God took place in the Garden of Eden. It started that soon. And God became a judge there. He was judgmental over Adam's sin there. So he's been a judge all along. And this reward thing is talked about throughout Scripture. There's more and more Scriptures that talk about the reward. So if you're there and you receive a reward, I know what most people say when they talk about this, and I tend to agree with this. If I'm given a reward of any kind or an award there, I'm going to turn it over and hand the crown back to him. Because it's only by him that I would have ever gotten anything. It's only through his glory. It's only through my attempt to glorify him that I would have ever won an award to start with. So I'm going to lay my crowns down at his feet and give him more glory for it, because I don't deserve any of it. And I believe that's kind of what's going to happen. And I believe instead of ignoring this kind of thing, we should pick up for the cause of Christ and do the things that we're supposed to do. When you think of it this way, folks, you don't know how many people are watching you. You have no idea who's watching and what you're doing to be seen by other people and what effect it can have on them. All of us in our life, we didn't just wake up one day and say, hey, I think I'll come to Christ today. No, we didn't do that. It was a process that we watched. We watched, we learned, we listened. And we went through all these kind of things. Most of our lives, I would say that there was probably one or two people that were influential in us deciding to come to Christ. You think about it for a moment. It's always one or two people that are influential like that. All I'm asking you to do is consider being one of those two people. Be a person of influence. Be a person that wants to not only win an award, but a person that takes the opportunity every day to share a little bit about what Jesus has done for you and how wonderful a God it is that we serve, because he is a wonderful, wonderful God. Let's pray. Father, you have entrusted much to us. Lord, you've given us so much to think about and to do on this earth. And Lord, we're not worthy in any way, shape, or form, but Lord, by your magnificent grace, you sent your son to die on a cross for us and you saved us, Lord. Lord, I could never express to you how wonderful that is and how much I appreciate you doing that for me when I was lost and undone. I thank you for, Lord, giving us the opportunity as a church to leave this place tonight and think about tomorrow in terms of what I might do for Christ. And every day that follows, Lord, as we awaken in unto the day, Lord, help us to think about, this is my opportunity. This is the day you've given me, Lord. What can I do for you in this day? And Lord, in doing so, the cause of Christ would be furthered. Lord, the glory would be brought to your holy name. And Lord, along the way, there'll be some rewards for these that have gathered here tonight. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for a God that loves us that much. For Lord, we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. See you Sunday.